scripture today. Would you speak to our hearts, Lord? Would you change our lives? Lord, would you make, well, the Bible says that your word is living and active, and so we pray that that would be true in our hearts even now. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning again. You can turn or scroll in your Bibles if you want to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I will have the scriptures on the PowerPoint, but if you want to look at that as well, you're welcome to turn there. Before we actually go into the scripture, Pastor Rob asked me if I would bring copies of my book. So I mentioned last fall that when I last preached here, that I had a new book coming out in February. February is past. The book is now out. It's called Simply Spirit-Filled, Experiencing God in the Presence and Power of the Holy Spirit. Basically, it's to try to encourage people to be open to experiencing God, and yet also very discerning at the same time. And the idea of simply spirit-filled with the simply is that, you know, it doesn't have to be complicated, and you don't have to act weird and crazy to have the Holy Spirit involved in your life. That's kind of the gist of it. So there's chapters on what does it mean to be spirit-filled in general. There's chapters on praying in tongues, on faith and healing, the spiritual gifts, the idea of being slain in the Spirit. And there's also a chapter related to what I'm going to speak on this morning, which is hearing from God. Although today I'll be focusing on Samuel, and I don't really talk too much about him in that chapter. So the book is available in the foyer after the service. Marilyn Mooney will be there. You can hand her your money. It's $20 each. If you don't have cash, you can use the debit machine and hand her your receipt. And if you aren't able to pay today, then you can take a book today and then bring the cash to me another Sunday, and that would be fine. That's the only thing that costs on the table. Everything else is free. So if you have kids and they're wanting to take one of the lanyards or the pens, that's okay with me. If you are okay with having more junk around your house, and everything else is free though, other than the books. So 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to cover most of the chapter today, verses 1 to 15. And we'll start in verse 1 in just a moment. But before we come to chapter 3, if we were to go back, chapter 1, we learn who Samuel is. Because this is the first time we hear about Samuel. And we learn in chapter 1 that Samuel was the son of a lady named Hannah. And Hannah, for many years, had wished to have a child, but she was barren. And she prayed to the Lord year after year for God to give her a child. And she said, God, if you give me a child, I will dedicate this child to you and to your service. And that is exactly what she did. After the child was old enough, the scripture says after the child was weaned, she took the child to the temple, and she took the child to the priest Eli, and she... Now, when we talk about dedications today, it's a little different. I mean, Pastor Gary might take the baby and say, oh, look at this beautiful child. Isn't he or she cute? And pray for the child and the parents. But then he'd give the child back. The child would go home and everything would continue. But Hannah left the child under the care of Eli. That's what she meant by dedicating the child to the Lord. So Samuel actually grew up under the priesthood at the temple with Eli, or in some translations, the tabernacle, because the final temple that Solomon built hadn't been built yet. So this is where we come to in chapter 3. And I'm going to highlight three different lessons that we learn from Samuel and his relationship with God here. So let's go to chapter 3, verse 1, reading from the New Living Translation. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. So he was an assistant to the priests. Now, in these days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of the Lord had not yet gone out. This was a lamp that was burning all the time in the tabernacle, especially through the night. And Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, Samuel. And I'll just pause here and say, we see right away one very obvious lesson, that God speaks. This is a continuous theme throughout the scripture, and yet there are some people, Christians even today, who would wonder, does God really speak? And yet we see from the very beginning, that's what God does. He says to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. We go forward 10 chapters. Noah, build an ark. We continue forward to Exodus. Moses, go and set my people free from the slavery in Egypt. And all throughout the Bible, it continues. And when we come to the New Testament and the early church in the book of Acts, there's numerous times where it says, the Holy Spirit said, do this. For example, Philip, it says, the Holy Spirit told Philip, go near that chariot. And then Philip goes there and he shares the gospel with the Ethiopian eunuch, and that person becomes saved and is baptized and so forth. And so we see this theme all throughout scripture that God speaks to people. And now it's interesting though, because in chapter or verse one here, it says messages from the Lord were very rare in that day and visions were quite uncommon. Now we don't know exactly why that was the case. There's no explanation. Perhaps it's because the priesthood was corrupt, and we learn about that in chapter 2. But regardless, what we do know is that now, this was 1,100 years before Jesus, before Pentecost. And so that'd be about 3,000 years before now. So 1,100 years later, Jesus comes, he dies, he rises again, he ascends to heaven, and he pours out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And then there's tongues of fire, people speak in tongues, and everybody's like, what's going on? And Peter gets up in front of the crowd in Jerusalem, and he explains. And he says in Acts chapter 2, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. So now it's not like the days of Samuel, which seemed to have been unique. Otherwise, why would the author have bothered mentioning that this was rare at this time? But now we're post-Pentecost. The Spirit's been poured out on the church, and we can expect that we're going to hear more of God speaking. That's kind of what Peter is indicating here. There'll be visions, dreams, and prophecies. God is going to speak through and to his people. So God speaks. Let's go back 1,100 years before Pentecost to verse 4 in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? He got up and ran to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again, Eli got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. Samuel did not know the Lord, because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time. And once more, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And this time, Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. So God speaks. A second lesson I see here is that we might not recognize God's voice for what it is. We might not recognize God's voice for what it is. See, usually when Christians talk about God speaking to them, they're thinking probably of God kind of speaking to their hearts, to their minds, putting what you might call an impression on them. And so because that's the way God tends to speak, it isn't always obvious that it's God speaking. And sometimes I felt like, wouldn't it be cool if it was like a Moses and the burning bush experience, where there's this bush that isn't burning up and I hear God speaking? Or wouldn't it be cool if I was like Samuel and I actually heard the audible voice of God? Wouldn't that be amazing and obvious, and it wouldn't be unclear whether or not God is speaking to me? But we see here that Samuel actually heard an audible voice from God, and he didn't recognize it for what it was. He thought, maybe it's Eli. He came up with some sort of other explanation, even though he was audibly hearing the voice of God. And we do that too. We can go, well, you know, that's just my own thinking. Or, you know, that's probably just me. Or, you know, maybe what I ate last night or whatever. It can't be God. It must be something else. And we can come up with another explanation, because we think when God speaks, it must be very obvious. It must be something that's going to be overwhelming. Like if I hear the voice of God, I'm going to fall on my knees and I'm going to start weeping, and it's going to be like thunderous, and there's going to be fireworks and thunder and lightning, and it'll be amazing. You know, that if God's going to speak through a dream, it's not going to be like a normal dream, like where I wake up and go, oh, that was nice. It's gonna be a dream. There's gonna be unicorns and rainbows and fairies and a banner and trumpets and wow. Or whatever, you know, that God's voice will be thunderous. And yet here is Samuel, hearing an audible voice from God, something I've never experienced, although I have heard a few stories from some people who have, or had visions and things like this, and he thinks it's not obvious. He thinks it's something else. So I read in Job this text, which is very instructive. For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night, when deep falls on people as they lie in their beds. He whispers in their ears and terrifies them with warnings. So I want to encourage you that, you know, maybe you think of yourself as somebody, well, I've never heard God speak, or I don't hear God speak much. Maybe you just haven't recognized it. Maybe when we have a dream, now I'm not saying all of our dreams are from God, but there are times when God speaks through dreams in the scripture, and it says it right here. You know, think of Joseph. I think of Paul. I think it's Acts chapter 15, 16, 17, somewhere in there, where Paul has a dream and he sees this person from Macedonia saying, come to Macedonia. And he gets up and he's like, I think maybe God's telling us to go to Macedonia. And they kind of discern as a group, yeah, we think that's where God wants us to go. It wasn't obvious necessarily. I can only think of maybe one time for sure, maybe two, where I've had God speak to me through a dream. But maybe God is speaking already and we're not really paying attention. Or maybe we are and it's all, maybe we are hearing and it's all good. But maybe, let me give you some examples. So maybe you felt at some time God is kind of, or maybe you don't even recognize it as God, but you're like, I have this feeling within me, this impression, whatever, this weight upon me that I need to go and encourage somebody. Or I need to phone that person. Or I need to go pray for that person. Or maybe you're reading something from the Bible and you're like, you know what? This doesn't feel like it was Paul writing to the Ephesians. This feels like God is speaking to me right at this very moment. Or maybe you're in a time of worship like this morning and you're just sensing the presence of God and God's love is, you know, God is affirming that God loves you. These are all different ways that God speaks and may be speaking to you, and you may or may not have been recognizing it. So another thing we learn from Samuel's experience is that God might speak when we don't expect it. So God speaks, we might not recognize it, and we also might not expect it. So I think sometimes we have this idea that God will only speak if we're actively seeking divine direction. But here is Samuel. He's never heard the voice of the Lord before, it says in the scripture. There's no sense that he's seeking it. He's not anticipating it. He's not asking God, what should I do with the rest of my life, or where should I live, or anything like that. and God speaks, kind of out of the blue. I've had this happen to me numerous times in my life. I think of last summer, kind of was the process when I was very happy doing what I was doing at the college. I was just the professor of theology. That's it. I loved it, taught, you know, got to write books and things, and I had no plans. I wasn't asking God, what should I do with the rest of my life? I'm like, I'm happy doing this. This is good. No need to change anything. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves without an academic dean. Rob Lindemann decides to go somewhere else. I didn't think, should I do this? I'm like, I know I don't want to do this. This isn't for me. And then over a period of months, God spoke to me, and I shared in our chapel earlier this year, and so I reflected on this. There was at least 10 distinct times when God spoke to me and kind of encouraged me, this is what you should consider, Andrew. At first, I ignored it, but then it got louder and louder. And I think, you know what? I think sometimes God doesn't speak loudly and with that thunderous voice unless we say no multiple times. And then sometimes God gets a little bit louder. So like Samuel, I wasn't expecting God to speak to me about this. I was very happy doing what I was doing. Frankly, I didn't want God to tell me to change. You know, I still get to teach some theology, but not as much. Now I have more meetings and getting ready for meetings and doing minutes after meetings and more meetings after that. But anyways, so let's continue our story of Samuel and hear what God said to Samuel. Now in verse 11. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I've warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgotten by sacrifices or offerings. Samuel stayed in bed until morning, then got up and opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him. And if we continue to read the last few verses in the chapter, he does tell Eli. But I learned here that God speaks for all different kinds of reasons. And I say that because oftentimes people think, well, God only speaks to tell us what to do, like where we should live or what job we should have or for younger people, who we should marry or something like that. What am I supposed to do with my life? But sometimes God doesn't want to tell us what to do. Sometimes, like James chapter 1 talks about how God gives us wisdom. If anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask God and God will give it. So sometimes God wants to give us wisdom to make our own decisions. And sometimes God may direct us and tell us what to do, especially if you're like me and you're a rebellious person who doesn't want to follow the voice of the Lord. I did, in the end, I did. But here's God speaking to Samuel, and he's not telling Samuel, this is what you're supposed to do. He tells Samuel what's going to happen to Eli, and it really wasn't pretty. It wasn't a positive message. Why was this going to happen? Back in the previous chapter, which we didn't read, we learned that the sons of Eli were scoundrels. Love how the Bible puts it. They were scoundrels who had no respect for the Lord. If we continue to read in the chapter, we learn how they would take food from people in the middle of their sacrificial offerings to God. They would just come and take the food from them. And we also learn in verse 22 that they were seducing young women at the entrance to the tabernacle. This was the type of scandal that if it happened today, you know, this would be all over the news. Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, you know, stealing at the temple and so forth. And so we learned in verse 13 of chapter 3, which we just read, that God had warned them that judgment is coming upon the family of Eli because his sons were blaspheming God. And so this wasn't a positive cherry message. There were no fairies and flowers and clouds and rainbows. And so Samuel was afraid to tell Eli, but he did. So God speaks for all kinds of different reasons. Sometimes God may speak to you to correct you. Maybe you have a sinful pattern in your life, and God says you need to repent. and ask for forgiveness. I've heard God speak to me in that way numerous times in my life. Sometimes God just wants to speak to confirm it with you that you are a child of God, just as the scripture says. Sometimes God might tell you to do something, like go and encourage somebody or write a note or something like that. God speaks for all kinds of different reasons. And a final lesson I learned from the story about Samuel here, and actually maybe it's the first lesson, but I skipped over it because I wanted it at the end. God can speak to anyone. I did some serious research, and I found that this is what Samuel looked like when this story was happening. Serious research, people. I Googled it. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're like, that's not really a picture of what Samuel looked like right then. I mean, it's black and white. That's because they didn't have color cameras back then, people. 3,000 years ago, everything was black and white. But my point in showing you this picture is that back in verse 1, it tells us explicitly Samuel was still a boy. Samuel was a boy. Samuel was not the person that we probably would have expected to have heard from God. We probably would have expected Eli the priest, who it's clear that he had heard from God before, because he kind of realizes, oh, that's what's happening with Samuel. Samuel, say this to God next time you hear. So surely God would speak to Eli, the religious professional, the reverend like Gary, the pastor. Surely God would speak to that person, not this little boy named Samuel who's just a servant in the temple. So I have two things I want to say here. One, our children can learn to recognize the voice of God. I have young children, 7, almost 8, 10, and 12. And I pray with them sometimes, and sometimes when I'm just praying for them, I pray, God, help them to hear your voice and help them to recognize it and help them to obey it. Because I know that God doesn't just speak to the religious professionals. He can speak to children like Samuel. He can speak to anybody. Although they might not recognize it, that's okay. I don't remember everything from when I was a child, just like you probably don't, but the youngest I remember hearing the voice of God was when I was 9 years old. And I tell this story in my book. I was in Greenwood, Nova Scotia, relatively small town, big enough to have a small Walmart now. But the parking lot of the church was smaller than this. I'm guessing it wouldn't have fit more than 100 people at the most. Not a paved parking lot, brick building. And I was sitting in my hard wooden pew. Now, I grew up in church, more or less. And there was a guest speaker that day. I still remember that. I think I have his name right, but I won't bother saying in case I'm wrong. But it was a guest speaker, and he had been in jail, and then he had become a Christian. And so he had come and told his testimony of God has changed his life. And so at the end of the service, he's standing up behind the pulpit, and he says, you know, every eye closed and every head bowed. And he kind of invites us to, would anybody like to decide to follow Jesus today? Now, as I said, I had kind of grown up in church more or less. And so I had heard this many times in Sunday school. The Sunday school teachers would say, you know, close your eyes. Would anybody like to invite Jesus into their heart? Is usually how it was put. And I had made a conscious decision. I remember this. 9 years old, probably earlier than that, I had made this decision. I said, no, I'm not going to do that yet. I figured I would do it later in life, maybe when I was in my 20s, because I wanted to have a little bit of fun first. And I figured that probably meant that I was going to sin a little bit between now and then. And so I was saying, no, not yet, God. And yet, this Sunday morning, I remember it very clearly. I didn't hear audible voice. I just remember sensing very strongly in my heart, No, Andrew, you got to stop saying no. Today's the day. You got to listen to my voice. You got to follow me. Not those exact words, but that was the gist of it. And so I remember, I think he had us raise our hand or something like that. But anyways, I remember praying. And my life didn't radically change at that day. I mean, I was still pretty young. I became more serious about my faith when I was in my teens. But my point is that God can speak to children. And God does speak to children. And we should encourage children to maybe see where that might be happening and encourage them to be hearing from God too and not just praying to God. So as I said, God can speak to anybody. There we go. So I wanted to say God can speak to children. And secondly, God can speak to you. See, we all have our excuses. We can be like, oh, I'm not the religious professional. I'm not the pastor. God doesn't need to speak to me. You know, I'm just a farmer. God's not going to speak to me. Or I'm just a teacher. God's not going to speak to me. Or I'm just, and you can fill in the blanks. I'm just a whatever I am. God's not going to speak to me. Or God doesn't need to speak to me. Or God, surely God wouldn't speak to me because I'm just whatever. Well, you know what? Pastors have their excuses too. I've been a pastor. I'm not as spiritual as the people think I am. Why would God bother speaking to me? And yet we see God does speak. He speaks to anyone. He can speak to everyone. We need to listen. I want to invite the worship team back up. As we get ready to close. So I think it's pretty obvious, you know, we've said this, you've heard it said, you've probably said it yourself. Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. You know, it's kind of true. It is a religion. I mean, we come to church, we have rituals, we do baptisms and dedications and the Lord's Supper. These are all religious rituals, so I don't know if we can say that it's not a religion whatsoever, but it's more than just that. It's more than just coming to church. It's more than just, it's even more than a relationship with a book. As important as reading the Bible is, it's not as important for you to, you can know the Bible and not know God. So Christianity is a relationship, and that's why God wants to speak to us. Not because he's like our psychic hotline. Like I said, he speaks for all kinds of different reasons. And the big reason is God wants to have a relationship with you. So as a final reminder, let us remember, God speaks. We might not recognize it, and we might not expect it, but he speaks for all kinds of different reasons, and he can speak to you. So let's listen. Would you stand with me? I don't know all of you this morning or any other day that I'm here, but perhaps you're in a similar place to where I was when I was 9 years old. Maybe you're not nine, but maybe you've heard John 3:16. Maybe you've heard, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Maybe God, you've heard God speaking, just like I heard God speaking as a nine-year-old, that this is true. Maybe you've never, just like me at that age, maybe you had never placed your faith in God. Maybe you never made the decision to say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put my life in your hands. I'm not going to live it the way I want to. I will follow your ways. We place our faith in Jesus because he came, he died for our sins, he rose from the dead, and he's coming back for us. And the scripture says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you are like I was, you've heard God speak, but you've never responded and said, yes, Lord. I want to invite you to just pray with me. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hands or anything, but if you just close your eyes and pray with me. Father, forgive me of my sin. I want to live my life for you. Please help me. Amen. If you prayed a prayer like that for the first time, I just want to encourage you, tell somebody. Tell Pastor Gary, tell me. If